Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Nsoroma. And the month of June, according to the wisdom I keep, is a water month. And what cannot take us to our next step, you know, our next step in our evolution will be resolved, dissolved, and released, whether we like it or not. So this energy of June, especially this last week we just went through, is pretty tight. So tonight I'm going to continue the second of a three-part series I'm doing on the theme, The Road to Divine Love. And I'll be sharing wisdom and insights tonight on creating a neutral zone, what that's about and why it's important. For those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, I broadcast live. And in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to this live broadcast and or call into the show at area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also, the web link provided on my Facebook page, which is Wisdom Walk Radio, and a constant contact email, that serves as the archive link. So if you're unable, for whatever reason, to listen to this live broadcast fully, you can listen later. And now I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner, where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, each week on Wisdom Walk, I like to start off by honoring the ancestors, the persons whose shoulders we're standing upon, the persons we're beholden to for who and where we are today. And I'm not just talking about the ancestors who gifted us with love and support, but I'm also talking about the ones who disappointed us, neglected us, or even physically harmed us, because our souls grow as a result of both the good and the bad. And so tonight, I wanted to take a moment for us to remember and honor all the ancestors that contributed to the year 1968, arguably one of the most disruptive, creative, sad, tragic years of the 20th century. I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing time. So many things going on, but some quick highlights. You know, Prague had been, the city of Prague, and had been under Stalinist rule from the communists. And, you know, Stalin was just like really, really crazy. Well, they had what was called a Prague Spring. The Stalinist ruler had gotten rid of, and a new ruler came in, and there was actually a drop in censorship. Censorship had stopped. And so, you know, again, people were like coming awake, coming alive. It was also a time of the conflict between the United States and North Korea, when the USS Pueblo ship was, the men of the ship were captured and put into a concentration camp for being spies. And that was a whole big thing. Of course, you had the Vietnam War going on, and it wasn't going well. There was a lot of anti-war protests that were going on that year. Martin Luther King was assassinated in April, and then Robert F. Kennedy got assassinated in June. You also had the students all over the world protesting. I mean, students from Howard University, Columbia University, Berkeley out in California, you know, in France. And there were mega demonstrations going on by people all over the world as well. You know, the Chicago Democratic Convention and the stuff that happened there. I mean, it was just amazing. And also, Richard Nixon gets, you know, voted into the White House as president. And, you know, it was just really, really an amazing year. You also had, like, the Roland and Martin Laffin got started in 1968, you know. So it was just like, you know, just like all of this stuff was a combination of innovation and craziness and, you know, really tragic things, just really disruptive year. But out of that, did I mention about the women's movement? Of course, civil rights movement was still going on. It was forming into the people's movement, the poor people's movement. Poor People's March happened in D.C. And there was also the women's movement going on. and just so many things. And, you know, we are really still affected by that. The Fair Housing Act came about in 1968. It's been 50 years. And it's just, you know, we really still are very much affected by that. And we're still playing out a lot of the things from that time of revolt and revolution. And, you know, and people just are really coming together and saying, this is not working. This is not working. We need something more. We need something different. So here we are in 2018, a nature year. You know, kind of doing the same thing. So I just wanted us to take a moment and think about, of course, the martyrs of that year, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, other people who died in the war, Vietnam, and, you know, and other things that were going on around the world, other conflicts, things in Africa, things in Asia. But just to take a moment to, for all the people who died in that year, people who took a chance to fight for justice and to speak out for freedom. Let's just take a moment to honor them. So ancestors who contributed to that most historic and disruptive year of 1968, not just for the United States, but for the world. We are calling out to you and we're asking you for your love, your guidance, your wisdom, because truly we are still very much going through similar growing pains. And so we need you to help us remember our truth, to find our courage, and to never, never, never give up. And Creator, we ask and we thank you for these ancestors and for our ability to connect with them, to love on them, to have them love on us. And we ask you for this blessing in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe Aho Asa Shinka Bisnivan. So it is. So it is. Yes, yes, yes. Moving right along, I want to talk about some of the elemental wisdom for this week coming up, starting tomorrow, and also the astrological forecast. So elementally, based on the medicine wheel that I wisdom keep, tomorrow would be the first of the week because January 1st was on a Monday. So from Monday to Sunday, I call that our elemental week. And this Monday, the 11th, kicks off a water week and a water month in a nature year. So here's the opportunity for this week. No surprise. It's about releasing what can no longer support your new journey. And if you don't think you're on a new journey, think again. Call upon the power of love and the element of water to enable you to peacefully and gently bid farewell to the people, places, or things that once sustained you. Gratitude for the contributions you received towards your healing and growth. Here are some of the distractions for this water week of releasing what can no longer support you on this new journey. Fear of loss, so wanting to hold on to that which cannot be held on to. Fear of the unknown. What's going to happen now? What is coming now? Can I really have it? Can I be with it? You know, all that anxiety-producing stuff. Just let it go because, number one, you can't change the past and you can't change the future. All you have in front of you is right now. And choose that to be a right now of love. It's like, let me be in the love. The future is coming, and when it shows up, you'll deal with it. But if you stay in the love, you'll have more strength to deal with it. Needing to know or explain outcomes that have yet to be lived. I love this one. God, I know this one so well. Don't do that. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. It's keeping you from really just releasing what you need to release right here, right now. And last but not least, holding on out of false obligation and false guilt. Trying to convince yourself that you need it or you got to have it, whatever. Don't do that to yourself. Let it go. Let it flow. Now, next week on Monday, June 18th, we'll begin a nature week in a nature year, and I will tell you all about it on the next broadcast. Now, astrologically, very interesting. We've got a new moon in Gemini, which is the season we're in right now is Gemini up until the 21st. And this Wednesday, June the 13th, we will have a new moon. And as you know, new moons are about new beginnings or a beginning of something, a launching of something, initiating something, an opening to something. Sometimes it's a restoration. Sometimes it's a reclamation. But it is this energy of, okay, a reset, you know, time for something new. And, you know, so with that comes anticipation, expectation, excitement, and gratitude. I think gratitude is very much part of when something new shows up, whether it's a baby, a new job, a new home, a new opportunity. You know, so this is a very, very good time. Now, Gemini, according to Barbara Goldsmith, who I use as my astrological consultant, she says that Gemini is one of the dual signs. It teaches you how to find balance in your life. Gemini rules your lungs, your arms, your hands, your speech. So this is a great opportunity to be more observant about these areas of your body. And I would say be gentle, you know, notice your breathing. Notice how it feels to breathe. Are you shallow? Are you breathing shallow? Are you breathing heavy? Like, what's going on? Because you want it to be in balance. Also, notice your arms and your hands. Are you overdoing it with your exercise? Are you not doing enough exercise? Do you need to kind of pump it up? Are you receiving? You know, arms and hands are all about embracing, receiving, you know, allowing ourselves to have something come in. So they should be feeling good so that we can receive what we need. So just notice what's going on with those arms and hands. And then she talks about the importance of communicating with care. Wow, this is so, so important. And speaking kindly. And in the time of the Trump administration, we really, really need to remember this. You know, look at Roseanne Barr. Too bad she didn't remember this. She'd still have her, you know, her show and her career in the way that she thought she was going to have it. Knowing Roseanne, she's a survivor. She'll figure out a way to come back. But, you know, I mean, come on. Not watching her speech got her in a lot of trouble. And so that's a time we're in. You know, it may seem like, you know, because the president is getting away with being vulgar, that anybody can do it, but that's not the truth. And that's not okay for the president to be vulgar like he is. Because whatever you put out, especially from your mouth, is going to come back to you. We live in a boomerang universe. So whatever you put out, it comes back. So really be conscious of this around this new moon and set an intention because, you know, sometimes we get so distracted and we're so caught up into the rat race and, you know, running around and doing things and being on a schedule that we're not paying attention to how we're being with ourselves or with others. So we need to slow down and set an intention to really speak kindly, to speak gently. You know, I am so blessed to be here with Miss Sarah in Santa Monica because she's like me. We're committed to love and kindness and gentleness. So we write each other notes expressing how grateful we are for something we did, the little things, you know, that we did, like we took the trash out. Oh, thank you so much for taking out the trash. You know, and just love, 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 love. And it's so important to do that. It's not corny. It's not pretend. It's like what we're supposed to be doing. So be kind to people, gentle, polite. You're not supposed to let other people turn you into gruff and vulgar, you know. No. And especially for the time we live in, we need to really communicate with compassion and with care. From Epictetus, a Greek philosopher, he said, "We have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak." I just love that. If we could only remember that enough. And also, Barbara offered up a German saying that says, "Der Ton macht die Musik," which literally translates to mean "the sound makes the music," meaning that it's not necessarily the words that you use, but the vibration behind them. The vibration behind them, really, really wonderful. So the last thing she points out about this new moon and this time of Gemini is to release emotional dramas. And I know you know what I'm talking about. She says, Gemini is like a sparrow and doesn't like to stop anywhere for too long. Often relationship dramas go on indefinitely, like we see in soap operas on television. But now is a great time to let them go. To let them go. You have to ask yourself, you know, if I'm staying in this drama, is it really going to benefit me? What is it doing to my body? Because that stuff tightens you up. And when you get tightened up, your immune system goes down, your digestive system gets screwed up. And yes, you can get sick. You can really, really get sick. Not worth it. Let it go. Water week, Gemini, new moon, let all that stuff go. So there you have the astrological forecast and some wisdom from Barbara Goldsmith on how to really keep yourself in balance, especially with what's coming out of your mouth and the energetic behind it. Thank you, Barbara, for that great forecast. So tonight, I am going to be talking about the neutral zone in divine love relationships and why it's important, how you create it, what is it about. But right before that, I'm going to give you a review of last week's broadcast, which is my introduction to this theme of the road to divine love and the opening of our heart to purpose. And then again, at the end, I will definitely give you a personal challenge. So my opening quote that I used in my announcement this week is from a man named Williams Bridges. And he says, all transitions have an ending, a neutral zone, and a new beginning. Isn't that so true and just so wonderful? So in other words, you're not going to get from what you finish to what you need to begin without there being this experience of neutrality. Neutrality. It's a very, very healing experience, a pure healing experience. Really, really wonderful. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me jump back to last week where I talked about this theme of the road to divine love, which rolled out of my theme in May, which was the road to happiness, and talking about happiness as a journey in a lifestyle. And it's something that you work toward. Well, it's the same thing with divine love. It's a journey. It's a lifestyle. It's something you want to work toward. So what is divine love? In relationships, it's those that are rooted in a higher purpose and experience with a higher consciousness. It's a very, very simple, but I think clear way to think about divine love. Higher purpose, higher consciousness. So you have an understanding that this is not just about you. It's just not about you and the other person. That there's something more as to why God has brought you together. And it's not about pleasure seeking or survival. even though that can be a part of it, but it's like the relationship doesn't stay there. You know, it's more than that. There's something more. And this higher consciousness means that you act from a higher state of being and knowing, which is rooted to love rather than fear, in the relationship. I said pleasure-seeking and survival relationships can grow into divine love, but divine love will never revert to pleasure-seeking or survival. So there's a developmental piece in divine love. It's something we aspire to. It's something we can grow into. And as I said, it's a journey. It's a journey you take. So a lot of times we don't, especially in this culture, really have or allow ourselves to have a vision for where a relationship could go. We focus on a very materialistic understanding of relationship. You know, it's all about how a person looks and what a person has and what a person does with their time and energy. And we don't think enough about, well, what's the purpose of these two people coming together, or even family? What's the purpose of this family? You know, why is this family the way that it is? What's the purpose of this? What's going on? In a workplace, have you ever thought about why are these the people that are working with you? Like, what's the purpose in this? Why are these people working with you? And so when we're going toward divine love, we begin to think about that. I mean, like, what's the purpose? What's going on here? So I also went on to talk about why we need divine love relationships. And the easiest answer is because pleasure-seeking and survival relationships do not take us to our happy endings or our fulfillment in life. You know, pleasure-seeking, surviving, those are really temporal type things. You know, because once you've survived, then what do? You know, and once you've gotten the pleasure, once you've experienced the pleasure, then what do? You know, well, you have to do it all over again, right? You know, all over again. But to get to fulfillment, to get to an experience where you are satisfied, where you're satisfied, where you have a knowing that you are in alignment with what is true for you and the other person or persons, that's fulfillment. And that's where you want to get to in relationship. And that's divine relationship. You can get there. And so why do we need higher purpose in relationship? I said because it enables us to experience the fulfillment in relationship. Also, the higher purpose is the third element of a partnership or a team. It's what binds the relationship together in the face of ego and personality disruptions generated by the pain body. And so what that means is, you know, that unconscious pain that we all have inside of us because of our core wound, because of whatever disappointments we experienced growing up, growing into adults, those things are going to pop out. You know, you're going to get a trigger. Somebody, the way somebody says something, the way somebody could look at you, a situation that doesn't turn out to the way you want it, somebody that said one thing and then they changed their mind, you know, all of this can create disruptions. And also, too, if there is an act of faithlessness or betrayal in relationships, if you don't have that higher purpose involved, it becomes very, very challenging and almost impossible to grow beyond the disruption. So that higher purpose, again, it's the third element of a partnership. It's the glue, you know, it's like the force that binds the relationship together. Now, I then went on to talk about how you open your heart to higher purpose. And I did this list, which I'll share with you again, that says you let go of pleasure seeking as a reason for a relationship. Next, you let go of making anyone but God responsible for your survival. You don't make your partner responsible for your survival. You know, your partner can support it, could support you financially. That's well and fine. But if something happened to your partner, does that mean then you've got to die too? You know, if your partner gets injured, does that mean then you got to starve? You know, so it's really important that you understand that, you know, there is a greater order and direction involved in your existence. You let go of needing to be rescued or to rescue. In other words, no codependency, you know. It has to be parity. It can't be, you know, out of order. Also, you let in self-love and the valuing of self. And sometimes you have to be alone to do this, you know, or you have to have some space to do this. But that's an important piece of opening your heart to higher purpose, because you've got to have enough of a sense of yourself so that you can present yourself to the other person to be supported, you know, not controlled or manipulated, but to be supported. And vice versa, they need to present you in a way where they can be supported, not controlled. Also, you have to let in knowing your higher purpose, knowing the higher purpose of the relationship, and then choosing to share your purpose with someone and being willing to support their purpose if it's in alignment with yours. And if it's not, going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue. And when we can open our heart to higher purpose, we're more likely to attract or to be attracted to someone that also understands that level of consciousness. And this is important because the last thing you want is to think, I've got to teach someone to be at my level, or I've got to make somebody be at my level. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. So, again, we're talking about divine love, and opening your heart to this higher purpose. And so the personal challenge I gave you last week was to identify at least three couples that you know, and they could be celebrities, didn't matter, but just three couples that demonstrated divine love. And then to take note of the three ways in which you know this to be true based on what I've been talking about. How do they live it? Can you identify their purpose? You know. And I gave the quick example of Meghan and Harry because very clearly they've come together for a purpose. And they've already demonstrated their willingness to share that with the world. So that's one example. But there are more out there. And hopefully you know some people who you can point to and say, yeah, this couple, you know, or this family, you know, it's really, yeah, like there's some divine love going on there for sure. Yeah. So now I want to talk about a really important aspect and practice of divine love relationships, which is the neutral zone. The neutral zone. So what is that? What am I talking about when I talk about a neutral zone? Because I can tell you, in this time we're living in, when I went online, I Googled, I just said, let me see what people are talking about in terms of neutrality and neutral zone, creating one. Let's see what somebody else is thinking. And I found the majority of the stuff was about thinking that being neutral meant you were weak, thinking neutral meant that you were siding with the wrong side, like you can't be neutral. If you are neutral, then you're not helping. You know, I mean, it was just like all this stuff about don't be neutral. And, of course, I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have, because you can't get to peace without creating a neutral zone. It's as simple as that. You know, peacemaking doesn't happen unless there is a neutral zone. Because peace isn't about I'm better than you, I won and you didn't, you know. It's peace. It's like we're agreeing on peace. on love. It's that kind of agreement. So a neutral zone, as I'm defining it, in a divine love relationship, or when you're aspiring to a divine love relationship, it's an agreed upon time and space to silently only express love. I'll repeat that. An agreed upon time and space to silently and only express love. It's also an agreement to let go of judgment and to experience forgiveness. And forgiveness is not about letting somebody off the hook if they did something that was harmful, hurtful, you know, unacceptable. It's about releasing the pain that you took on from that other person. And for them to release the pain they may have taken on from you. So neutral zone is where this letting go of judgment and experiencing forgiveness. It's also a safe time and place to silently reclaim the truth and purpose of the relationship. Silently reclaim the truth and the purpose of the relationship. Now, you know, we usually think of a neutral zone in terms of war, where two sides come to an agreement and they want to come to an agreement, so they have to create a neutral zone where they're not going to fight. You know, well, you can come and stand in my presence and I'm not going to shoot you down, you know, and they both agree. And then they can come and they can do what they need to do so that they stop killing each other. And so in a way, this neutral zone is the same thing. It's where you are not going to be in battle. You're not going to be in debate. So here's what's not allowed in a neutral zone. There's no direct or indirect negative energy towards each other. Okay? This isn't about, okay, let me tell you what you did and how you hurt me and what. That's a different kind of zone, process zone, we'll call it that. That's where you get a chance to be expressed about what hurt, what didn't work for you. The other person listens, and then you get to hear back what they have to say about what happened. For example, I had a very, very blessed opportunity to reconcile with my father, who I did not grow up with and who was a polygamist. And I was in my 40s when I, you know, got guided by spirit and decided that I needed to reconcile my anger and my hurt with him, and I needed to just be expressed to him. And so I sat down with him, was able to locate him and find him and sat down with him, and I said, I just need to be expressed. I might cry a little, but I just need you to know this. And I just, like, bam, gushed it all out. You did this, you did that, because of you, you know, judging, blaming, all that good stuff. But I needed to do that. I needed to get it out. And then my father, when it was his turn, said to me, I'm so sorry, I apologize, and I want to tell you my story so that you understand that what you experienced had nothing to do with you, that it wasn't like I intended for you to be hurt. And he said, it's not letting me off the hook. I'm not telling you this so that you won't feel the way you're feeling, but I think it's important that you know about my childhood trauma and why I could do the kind of behavior I did. And so that was a process zone, you know. We got to a neutral zone after that where we were able to just sit in silence and really just love on each other. It was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my life, because I'm like, I don't even know this man. How am I loving him? But, you know, children just are wired to love their parents, and most parents are wired to love their children. And so I was able to have that moment, because it really is a moment. It is an experience. That's why the silence in a neutral zone, because you're not trying to intellectualize the experience of the heart. And ultimately, that's what a neutral zone is. It's an experience of the heart and the soul. And so sometimes it's just a nanosecond, you know, but that's all it takes. Sometimes it's a little longer than that, but it doesn't need to be an hour in order to get to get the medicine of being in a neutral place in relationship to someone else. So, again, in neutral zone, no direct or indirect negative energy towards each other, no hurtful comments or behaviors, no control drama or manipulation to try and get the other person or persons to see and agree with your perspective, right? You know, I'm not in there trying to get somebody to tell them I'm right. No debating, no hoping. This is really important. No hoping your neutral stance will lead the other person to change his or her behavior towards you. All you're doing is just loving on that person, and that person's loving on you. Now, why do we need this? Why do we need a neutral zone? And especially in divine relationships. Aren't divine relationships enough that, you know, you just love that person and you don't need to, like, go into a silence and just feel it's like, what is this about, Jojoba? Well, here's the reality. The reality is that we're human, and all of us have pain inside of us. And that pain comes out of both your life experience, but also your ancestral experience. It's in your DNA. And so you've got pain inside of you may not even be conscious of. So to transcend the victim consciousness that pain and your pain body produces, and the negative conditioned responses when that pain gets triggered, like, you know, usually we'll go on the defensive, usually we're going to blame somebody. So to transcend that will emerge when the pain body is triggered. You create a neutral zone, because this will give you the opportunity to silently and compassionately experience the love between you and the other person. And the most important and operative word here is experience. Not say it, not trying to convince somebody, you know, not trying to get them to say it to you, but it is an experience of the love and of the higher purpose of the relationship. Like, I got really clear as to why this man was supposed to be my father. And the work I was able to do with men involved in the criminal justice system is really rooted in that love experience that I had with my father, because it taught me that I could learn to not be judgmental, that I didn't need to do that, you know, that I could really hold a space of compassion and love for another human being. And it's a very, very, like I said, very powerful, powerful medicine. Now, the inability to create a neutral zone is evidence of attachment, but not love. What that means is that if you thought that it was a divine relationship or a deep love relationship, but you're not able to create a neutral zone, then it ain't love. It may be attachment, but it's not love. The experience of the neutral zone will clarify the truth of the relationship. So, for example, again, I didn't grow up with my father. I think I had seen him maybe just three times that I consciously did, you know, once when I was a teenager, once when I was a young adult, and now here I am in my 40s. And so it wasn't like I knew him in the way that we think we know someone. So it should not have been rationally this deep love connection between us, but it was. And that's divine love. That's divine love. It wasn't anything I could make up. It's just what is, you know. And so if that had not occurred, then I would know that, okay, this isn't, yeah, it ain't happening here, you know. And that would be fine, because it will show up in our lives. It can show up in our lives if we're open to it. And again, this notion of a neutral zone is one of the ways in which we can call it up in our lives. So I want to share with you also about being neutral in relationship and what that really means. And I got this from a website called theartofembracing.com. And this person who created this writes that when we're neutral at the personal or patterned level of being, we're free to express as we're moved to express in the moment. We're no longer responding to this moment in a preconditioned, patterned manner. We're present in this moment, responding to this moment. Our response is fresh, alive, originating in this moment. We're present now. Being neutral doesn't mean that we're neutral to life. It doesn't mean that we walk through life feeling nothing. Quite the contrary. When we're neutral to our personal patterning, all the energy that was being utilized to maintain control of self and others is freed up. Now we have access to an infinite supply of energy. We feel more deeply, our perceptive abilities are clearer, and we're able to know the truth and respond appropriately. We are fully present and able to attend to what is present before us in this moment. And she goes on to talk about what does it feel like to be neutral. She says, when a pattern is brought to neutral, we're no longer bothered by it. Thinking of the issue no longer evokes a response, positive or negative. We're no longer polarized. When we think of the issue, it's just neutral. When we meet a situation that used to trigger us, now it simply informs us clearly. Now we're free to express as we're moved to be in this moment. We're freer to make a choice that's no longer influenced by our patterning. We're freer to open to our innate knowing and know how to respond in a manner that's appropriate for all involved. Wow. Wow. Really, really nice stuff. She nailed it. Again, that's theartofembracing, all one word, .com. What does being neutral really mean? She really did a good job there. So, you know, what we're talking about here is stepping into our higher consciousness. I would label this at least five-dimensional consciousness, because in order to have that experience where you're letting go of responding out of your fear and you're reacting out of your fear, I should say, you know, because it's a reaction when we get triggered. So instead of reacting out of your fear, you're responding out of your love. And it's a love of yourself. It's love of the other person. Even if you don't know them, like me with my father, didn't know him, but I'm just loving him, you know. It's this ability to want to go higher in how you experience yourself and others and the world around you. This is a very, very powerful human ability to go neutral. I don't know if animals can do it, you know, because animals, they programmed about survival, so they, you know, they're going to be fighting and stuff, you know. But as humans, we get this opportunity to choose to let go of how we used to be or how we thought we had to be. Now, let me just tell you that divine love relationship doesn't mean all the time that you're actually supposed to be with that person, you know, because we think about the happy ending, so, oh, I'll be with this person, it's going to be wonderful. So with my father, it wasn't like now I'm daddy's girl and I'll call him every day and we're going to have this relationship. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. He had a life and, you know, he had a wife and he had children that he had raised, my half-brothers and sisters that I got to meet, which was wonderful. But I had a life. I had a very a different life. And I didn't need a daddy at that point. That was the other thing, too. I had my grandfather, my uncles, and other men in my life that had been wonderful, wonderful models for me. And then I had men friends, men who were friends to me, men I'd fallen in love with and had wonderful experiences with. So I wasn't in that, you know, needing a daddy kind of thing. What I needed from this man was what I got. I needed that experience of that love exchange. And so in my story, I probably talked to my father over the phone maybe two or three times before he suffered an aneurysm and got paralyzed on one side of his body. And shortly after, he did die. I got to speak to him in the hospital about a couple of days before he died. And his parting words to me were, "It's all about the love. It's all about the love." And I think about the Beatles song right away, "Love, love, love, all you need is love." And I am so grateful for that. My God, what a great gift. What a great gift that my father was able to give me as he was dying. And again, we were in that neutral zone. You know, I wasn't judging him for how he lived his life and what he didn't do for me, and he never sent me a birthday card. You know, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. You know, it was having that moment, that deep moment of pure divine love being exchanged back and forth between me and him. So I share this with you because I think it is so important that we as humans want to grow beyond our anger, our distrust, our anxieties, our judgments, our shame, our blaming, our guilt, you know, all these negative energies that can consume us about who we are and why we are. It's important for you to know that you don't have to stay in that posture, that you can choose the love, and the love works for us, let me tell you, because, you know, I to have that experience with my father, I have to surrender, because I couldn't have imagined. All I knew at that point in my life is that I was done. I was done with depression, with rage, with anger, with fear that would hold me back from really being all of who I was supposed to be. And I wanted to have experiences in my life that were positive, that were generative. I wanted my creativity to flow. I wanted to just really have more experiences of love than not. And so I called it up. And so that's what you can do. You can call this up. So here's your personal challenge for this week. I want you to take on practicing being in the neutral zone with yourself first. You got to try it on yourself first, and then you'll be more able to have it with another person or a group of people. So what I recommend you do is sit or lay down and imagine yourself confronting yourself. You're standing or sitting, you're facing yourself, and really imagine that. And then you're going to set the intention to just be loving. I want you to notice what thoughts or images first show up to disrupt that. Because they're going to happen. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, this is like doing mirror work without the mirror. So you're going to look at yourself. You're going to imagine you looking at yourself just intending to be loving. But some negativity is going to push up. And I want you to just listen to it. Just notice it. Don't react to it. And you know, when you end your meditation, because this is like a meditation, say something loving to yourself, even if you're not feeling it, but say something loving to yourself. I'd like you to commit to practicing this every night right before you go to bed. and always with the intention of just loving yourself. No judgments, no put downs, no negativity, just love, love, love. And try it out and see. And then, you know, the next step would be, okay, where's the relationship where you really need to have that experience and get freed up from all the anger and all the pain, and intend to create a neutral zone and step into that neutral zone. I could talk about this all day. I told you I love talking about love, but my show is coming to an end, and I want to do a shout out to my engineer for tonight, Ms. Yvette Parker, and blessings to her and her family as they are going through the Ramadan season. Blessings, blessings. And to the entire Black Hole Be Well radio family, thank you, thank you, thank you for holding space for me and helping me get this message out during your high holy time. I'm so grateful. All my regular listeners out there, especially Miss Sarah, again, who keeps proving that life is what you make it, all those who have wisdom walk with me and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you very much. I couldn't do this without your listenership and support. Next week, I'll continue my third and final part of this road to divine love with outgrowing attachment in order to love deeply. Don't forget to check out my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. And last but not least, I would like to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my feet to the ground, my head to the sky, and my heart open to hear and do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous water week coming up. Let go. Enjoy the new moon on Wednesday. And please, please, please remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.